My dear brothers and sisters, I know it's been a very long time since I was a child, but I'm not sure that certain things change very much. It was always around this time when, as children, we would get very, very excited about the coming of Christmas. Maybe we'd start to play a little detective work around the house, prowling about just to see if we could catch any glimpses of things that might be being prepared for us. Or if presents began to appear wrapped under the tree, we'd study them carefully to see the shape and the size. We might even pick one up and shake it a little bit. See, Legos are always a dead giveaway. But it is that eager anticipation. And of course, we were always told, be patient. Be patient. Advent is a time of eager anticipation. And today, Gaudete Sunday, the church reminds us of the joy that is coming at the birth of our Savior. But at the same time, the church counsels us to be patient. In today's second reading, that short passage from the letter of St. James, not once, not twice, not three times, but four times in that short passage, St. James tells us, be patient. And he compares this great work of God to a farmer planting seeds. The seeds of redemption have been planted. But just like the seeds that the farmer plants, those seeds have to put down root. Those seeds have to sprout. Those seeds have to grow. And then, and only then, do they blossom and flourish. Be patient. But we don't live in a patient society. We live in a society of instant gratification. I want it now. We have convenience stores, fast food. We want everything now. We want to press a button and have an Amazon drone deliver it now. We're not good at patience. So what are the lessons we can learn today about patience? First of all, patience with ourselves. Sometimes in the spiritual life, we can get discouraged. Here I am, and I'm still struggling with the same old sins. Here I am, how long have I been a Christian, and still I get it wrong. Here I am, I've fallen again. I shouldn't have to go to confession this soon. We can get discouraged. Well, discouragement is something that happens, but we need to confront it. You want to talk about discouragement? We see St. John the Baptist in prison. He is the great forerunner of the Lord. How discouraged is he? John the Baptist is the one that pointed Jesus out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." John knew this was the Savior. John had leapt in his womb, in his mother's womb, pointing out Jesus. And John is so discouraged now in prison that he has to send followers to ask, "Are you really the one?" That's how discouraged John was. My dear brothers and sisters, we can get discouraged. We need to learn to be patient with ourselves. In baptism, the seed of redemption has been planted within us. But that seed takes time to sprout and grow and blossom. But I want to be holy now. Once we understand that we're called to be saints, I should be a saint now. Allow the Lord to work. Now, we can't just be a passive bump on a log. We have to cooperate with God. We have to join our efforts to His grace. But it's a lifelong process. And we shouldn't get discouraged if we stumble along the way. We need to learn to be patient with ourselves. Now, sometimes we're maybe too patient with ourselves. Oh, that's just the way I am. Okay, but that's not necessarily the way God wants you to be. Sometimes I give myself a free pass, but the people around me, oh, I see their faults clearly. And I'm not always patient with them. And that's where we find St. James, as he exhorts us to patience, he also says, do not complain, brothers and sisters, about one another, that you may not be judged. Not to complain about one another? Yes. For when we see the failings and the faults of the people around us, we should remember our own faults. We should remember the patience that God has towards us. We should remember His compassion towards our weakness. We should remember the generosity of His mercy to me. And then, that's how we should love one another. When God sees me at my worst, He is so tender and patient and seeks only to heal me and raise me up, seeks only to help me to blossom and flourish. But when I see someone else at their worst, I can come down like a ton of bricks. Shape up. Look at that. That's awful. Shame on you. I have no time for that. I don't want to have anything to do with you. We can condemn and reject. We can have instant flare-ups of anger. We're not very good at being patient with one another. Reality check. You and I live in a broken world with imperfect people and relationships are messy. That's why we rejoice that God sent a Savior. We need saving. So when we look around us, not to expect perfection, but rather to see the compassion of God towards our failings and to know Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. And sometimes, my dear brothers and sisters, the Lord in our struggles will allow us to continue to fall flat on our faces because we haven't learned to be merciful to one another. The Lord allows us to crash and burn time and again until we learn how much I depend upon His mercy. And then how can I be begrudging of mercy to others? They may have a different set of sins, but we're all stumbling along. And until I learn how to be patient with the weakness, imperfections, failings, and sins of those around me, sometimes the Lord lets me keep failing myself. I have to embrace the gift of His mercy in my own weakness, in my own need, in order to recognize that I'm not better than others, to recognize that I'm meant to share that gift. The only way I can show my gratitude to God is by doing what he said. Take the gift of mercy you receive and share it with those around you. We need to learn to be more patient with one another. We need to learn to be patient with God. Sometimes we look around the world and we say, Lord, this is a mess. You created this? Couldn't you have done a better job? Where are you, Lord? Do you see what's going on here? It's a disaster. Lord, are you asleep at the wheel? Lord, get with the program here. Come sort this out. If I was in charge, things would be very different here. We're impatient with God. And yet Scripture tells us that God's patience is directed by his mercy towards our salvation. God's patience with the brokenness of the world is a blessing to us. You and I want God to flip a light switch or to wave a magic wand and sort it all out. But God is patient because he is at work in hidden ways for our salvation. In the first reading, it spoke about the desert coming into blossom. Yes, God is going to transform the world. And the proof that Jesus sent to John's question about if he's the one, said, tell John what you see. The deaf are made to hear, the blind are made to see, the dead are raised. You and I can see the brokenness of the world. You and I are bombarded with the headlines about everything wrong. Can we also see the beauty? Can we also see that there are already shoots of redemption? Can we see that God is raising up saints? Can we see even ordinary people in little ways reaching out in love to help one another? God's patience is there to allow for this. It's not just a mess. There is also much beauty and goodness that is at work in our world. We need to stop complaining and stop measuring only that it's half empty. We need to see that the world is half full of God's goodness. The seeds of redemption have been planted. God is at work. His timeline is not the same as ours. We need to learn to be patient. Brothers and sisters, it's hard when we're immature to wait for Christmas morning to open the presents. It's hard to keep joy alive and to wait patiently in hope as adults in the brokenness of our world. But God is at work. Christ has come. Jesus is victorious over the brokenness of this world. And he offers us his healing. And he wants us to be part of that transformation of the world. He wants his patience with each one of us to bear fruit in the transformation of our world. Don't lose heart. Don't grow discouraged. Don't be impatient. There is cause for rejoicing here. Jesus entered our broken world. And the Roman Empire was not better than what we have now. The world has been broken a long time. As much as we may deplore how things are now, the world Jesus entered was every bit as bad. But he came as our hope and salvation. Let us trust him and rejoice in the God who keeps his promises.